Perhaps you have heard that some feel there is a war on Christmas. The debate about whether we should wish one another Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. Some fear that Christ is being removed as the point of this season. There was a recent article in the New York Times entitled, "Is Christmas a Religious Holiday?" A growing number of Americans say no. The article opens by observing a recent Pew study that may give some credence to those who claim that there is some kind of war on Christmas. Now, this may be slightly dramatic, but certainly the author observes that the survey shows attitudes of those interviewed reflect changes from past years. The survey shows that a majority of Americans still celebrate Christmas, but that most find the religious elements are less emphasized than in the past. 90% said they celebrate Christmas. 46% see Christmas primarily as a religious holiday. And 33% see it as primarily a cultural holiday. 82% spend Christmas with family, and 51% said they would attend a religious service. Now, certainly it is a good thing if people take time at Christmas to spend time with family and friends, if they consider peace on earth, of the light coming into the world at this darkest time of the year. And it certainly is a fine thing to give to charitable organizations in the spirit of the season, as well as offering gifts to our loved ones. And yet I have sadness that the deep promise of Christmas is increasingly being missed, that people might focus on things other than the promise of this night, might focus on the more emotional, the more sentimental aspects of this feast. For this is a holiday, unlike many others, that's richly laden with sentiment, with emotion. There are many memories that we carry from childhood, either how we remember Christmas past, how they actually were, or maybe how we wished they had been. This is a time of year where sights and sounds and smells can trigger a rush of emotions. Memories can come flooding back to us. That sight of a lighted Christmas tree, the sound of a familiar and beloved carol, the scent of cookies baking as that scent wafts through the house. And certainly we who are followers of Jesus, who come to church this night, are not immune to the rush of feelings and memories. If, like me, you have been hearing this Christmas story since you were an infant, this beloved story from the Gospel according to Luke, then perhaps you, like me, have emotions and memories that are stirred up by this familiar and beloved text. We have the angels singing glory to God in the highest, the shepherds keeping watch on a cold, starlit night. That image alone brings to my mind a vivid memory of an image that I saw in my childhood so long ago, and yet it comes rushing back when I hear about those shepherds. And certainly, who can forget the sheep with the shepherds, those fluffy sheep on the barren hilltop? That manger with the pleasant animals, the ox and the cow, the bed of straw, a child glowing with God's radiance, watched over by two adoring parents, and Mary with her hands in mouse crutches folded in prayer. These responses to Luke's stories are to be expected. This story is central to this feast. It's a scriptural text that so many of us have a long-standing relationship with. Yet, I believe we must not rest in these wonderful and cherished feelings, in these beloved memories. But rather, I think this night calls us to see this story with fresh eyes, to come to understand the deep promise of God revealed on this holy night. The promise of Christmas is that of nothing short of God's visitation among us. The God who is the creator of all things stoops to put on the limitations of human existence, to live among God's own creatures. And this promise of God comes to the least likely and unsuspecting of people. Luke's account reminds us right at the outset who the important and powerful were. Luke is ever the historian, and he has recorded their names for all ages. The Emperor Augustus, the the one who wants a census so he can tax his people, Quirinius, who is governor of Syria. Now this places the story in a particular time and place. God comes among humanity in the time appointed, in the place that God selects. But these men, Augustus, Quirinius, important in their time, are not the actors in this story. Rather, it is Mary, an unmarried, pregnant woman who says yes to her life being turned upside down for the sake of bringing about God's plan of salvation. Of Joseph, to whom she is engaged, Joseph who accepts Mary's pregnancy. This poor couple living far outside the centers of the power of their world, far from that emperor way in Rome, they are chosen by God to bring the hope of God's promise to the world. And then we have those shepherds living at the margins of society, men who were in their day considered of questionable morals and behavior. They are the ones first entrusted with this momentous news of an angel. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. These shepherds are the first to hear that news and the first to travel to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place. And they return from that sight, glorifying and praising God. And the baby, that holy child, it is impossible, I think, to comprehend God coming among us in such humility and vulnerability. It's difficult even to contemplate. It is not how we might expect God to enter into human history. It's not how we might expect God to overturn injustice to establish God's reign of peace. For how can a helpless baby ever accomplish this? Some scholars have found in this reality the incarnation of God taking place in the newborn baby of poor unmarried parents to be a kind of scandal, of something that can offend our sensibilities. And they are certainly not alone. Just a few months ago, a person I do not know, after watching a video from last Christmas on the Redeemer Facebook page, posted a comment. The comment was in response to the claim in the video that God came among us as a helpless baby. This person replied that that was actually misguided and an insult to the power and the majesty of God. There's that scandal. It's difficult to imagine the Almighty, eternal God, limited in human flesh. Yet that is, I think, precisely the point. God is a God of surprises. God is one who does not act as we would, or even as we might expect or imagine. For God enters into the world in far more humble a way than we might expect or even be comfortable with. The Almighty and powerful God comes to humanity as that baby, as one who accepts the limitations of human existence. God humbles God's self in being born of Mary. And in the birth of the baby of Bethlehem, human existence is set on its head. Or rather, it is set right side up. For the promise of this child is that the lowly are exalted, the poor are satisfied, the rich are released from their power, that power of that they hold on to in their wealth. The child born of Mary this night comes to set us free, free from all that alienates us from God, our neighbor, and ourselves. Jesus is born into the fullness of human life, knowing our joys and sorrows, showing us how to live that abundant life of God, how to love those at the margins, seeking the forgotten and the invisible, choosing that place of humble service, washing our neighbor's feet. Jesus is the one who will, as an adult, take up his cross, shouldering the evil and hatred of humanity, putting it to death once for all on the tree, and setting us free to live in the promise of resurrection life. I think to miss or to give up or to lose this deep promise of Christmas is to cut ourselves off from the divine life. For God acts this night to lift humanity above itself to the dizzying heights of eternity. God becomes incarnate in this helpless baby of Bethlehem that that humanity will be lifted even to the very throne of God, to the divine life of love of the Holy Trinity. The implications of this reality are for us unimaginably profound and life-changing. When we know sorrow and suffering, we can be sure Jesus is with us, for he knows firsthand what we experience. And we can find meaning in our experience through the power of the cross. When the powerless and disenfranchised cry out in pain, Jesus hears them, for he is the one born this night in an animal feeding trough, far from the privilege of power and wealth. He is the one who knows firsthand the cruelty of this world, having suffered unimaginable pain. When those who have privilege hear the cries of the poor and the suffering, Jesus stands beside them, reminding to listen to their stories, to use our power and influence to right the wrongs of this world, believing this world can be transformed, that God can and will act in and through us. This night is born in the city of David the Messiah, the Christ, the one whose birth changes everything. Not simply because a baby is born, for that is always a miraculous event. But this birth, the birth of Jesus, is more than just that. In Jesus, God comes among us, showing us the depth of God's love, showing us how profoundly God desires to be in relationship with us, how God invites us to live a new way of life. Jesus comes among us, showing us the way of deliverance from the ills of this world, and the way to the abundant life that God offers all. And so, on this holy night, may we open our hearts and open our lives, letting go of whatever clutter there may be in the way, that there may be a large room, a mansion even, prepared in us for God to enter in and be born in us this day. This child of Mary comes with the promise and the fulfillment of the ages. In him, life is forever changed. And in him, we are forever changed. And in him, the face of the earth will be forever changed. The hopes and fears of the world are this night met in this child of Bethlehem. And so, as the prophet Isaiah says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.